save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Test of Time News.
Episode 416
on Now You Know. So Tesla's referral program is back.
I'm back, baby!
Remember, Elon ditched that old Tesla referral program right around the time of the big layoffs in April and May?
Right. Elon said at the shareholder meeting in June, I think we'll re-examine the referral program probably next quarter.
Well, now Tesla just announced the new referral program. Earn $500 by giving anyone $1,000 off a new Tesla. Can be used towards supercharging, software upgrades, merchandise, service payments, or a new Tesla.
So what's changed?
Well, it seems a bunch of things have changed. For one thing, you can now only get a referral credit as the referrer if the person you are referring is a new Tesla customer.
Ah, I see. So no more buying a second or third Tesla using your friend's referral code.
Right. Also, now referrers are limited to 10 referrals per calendar year.
So if a new Tesla customer uses my referral code, they save $1,000 off the price of their car and I get $500 in cash?
No. You get Tesla credits added to your account, which you can then spend on supercharging a new vehicle, like outstanding balances for service appointments in the Tesla app or the Tesla shop, or upgrade purchases.
Wasn't there also a Tesla vehicle sweepstakes that people could enter with their Tesla credits a while back?
Yes. Tesla also announced those winners.
Woo-hoo! Oh, congratulations.
Also, according to laws in Virginia and Ohio, unfortunately, those residents are not eligible for refer benefits, but they can get loyalty benefits.
What are loyalty benefits?
Tesla says loyalty benefits are available if you currently have a qualifying Tesla product using the same Tesla account and you are purchasing another qualifying Tesla product.
By the way, you will need version 4.36.1 of the Tesla app to use the new referral program. So upgrade your Tesla app if you haven't in a while.
Yeah, I just did that. Now you get that nice big button that's like, refer someone.
And we'll be putting our referral code down below. But keep in mind, we can only have 10 per year. I think it's kind of smart to only have 10 per year.
Yeah.
Because
those damn YouTubers, you know.
Tesla did create a problem for themselves when they were like, you know,
it was a good problem.
It was a good problem.
Yeah.
And I think it's where it got them today. But I think going forward, it does make sense to limit it to 10.
I think they don't want family members to just keep using the referral credit to give themselves money off. You know, they want to spread the word to new people.
Right. And I think that 10 per year is a good limit. So that would be $5,000 a year that somebody could potentially earn, I hope.
Yeah.
Get some new tires.
So a Tesla semi-truck was spotted by Zangler in Nevada near Giga Nevada with the driver hands-free. Check that out.
This was really cool to see. Obviously, Autopilot has been around for years. We tested it on Sparky, our Model X, since we started back in 2016. We drove all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast and back, 98% hands-free. So it's no surprise that Autopilot can handle highway driving for the Tesla Semi.
But was Tesla testing one step further here? I mean, could that Semi we just saw also be testing full self-driving? Maybe it could drive from like Gigafactory out to the highway and back, handling the city streets as well?
What do you guys think? Comment down below.
Let's see if Zangler captures any footage of that. And thanks to Zangler for getting out there with this drone and camera to get the latest on Tesla Semi and Giga Nevada.
And while we're talking about Tesla Semis, we reported last week that Tesla is looking to hire a, quote, business development manager in Europe to build and maintain customer relations and plan for Tesla's future semi-truck deployments.
Well, that might explain why Tesla Semis were spotted all over German highways last week. And two Tesla Semis were spotted by Tobias Lynn in Germany at Giga Berlin. Oh, Jesse, you want to see a semi lifted by a crane? Check this out. This reminds me of when we used to watch that VHS tape of Hard Hat Harry.
Ah, that we permanently borrowed from the library? Yes.
Hey, Harry, they're setting up the pile driver over there.
We wore that tape out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That tape could not go back. This is yet another Tesla story that most people don't understand the significance of yet.
When all these auto analysts endlessly talk about quarterly sales of the Model Y, blah, 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 it's the best-selling car in the world, they never mention the Tesla Semi.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla Semi is going to revolutionize and disrupt the way goods get moved around the world, and practically nobody gets it. Semi is going to dramatically lower the cost per mile or kilometer to move goods and to make it so much safer on the roads. But again, nobody seems to want to talk about it. They just want to say, isn't he late making it? So the next software update that many Tesla owners will get is 2024.32, which is being tested by Tesla alpha testers now. According to Not a Tesla App, this update will come with FSD 12.3.6 and a few other features.
So that's not the latest full self-driving.
That's not 12.5.
Right.
But that's the latest that we're getting as non-alpha testers. What? Confusing.
But we've tested 12.5.
In a Model Y with hardware 4, but like in a car with hardware 3, this is what you're getting right now.
I see. Okay. And so what's confusing is that Tesla has software updates and they have full self-driving updates.
Right.
And they're not exactly the same thing. The software updates are going to have things to do with the touchscreen and...
Well, let's learn what they are.
Let's see what those are.
Yeah, so the first one here is construction on your route. So navigation now shows relevant construction zones along your route. And that's a really nice feature. So you can decide if you want to maybe take a different route.
Now, it does require premium connectivity.
Exactly.
Do you think that it uses Tesla Vision to detect if there's construction? Or do you think that it's using Google or Waze?
My thought would be Waze or something.
They're also adding predictive text for navigation searches. So with this update, your vehicle now suggests search terms in addition to locations as you enter text in the navigation search bar, enabling you to look more quickly for locations of interest.
Yeah, so that's nice. So as you start to type a word, it just guesses what your next thing is, which is cool. And this one, search this area. So you can refine a navigation search when you zoom in or drag to a different area and just tap search this area.
That's good, because sometimes I'll search a place and it'll be like, navigating to Arizona. It'll be like, wait, no. And they've added mobile app notification for tire service. So you're now notified via the mobile app when tires should be scheduled for your vehicle.
So does it know your tires are getting worn out by comparing how many rotations your wheels should have made versus how many they did make?
Grok says yes. Teslas have wheel rotation monitoring and they know how many times the axle turned as well. The long-term average between the two helps to calculate the difference in tread depth over time.
Oh, and also you'll now be able to set a mileage-based reminder in the app. So like if you're getting new tires put on and they're like, these last 40,000 miles, you can put a reminder.
Don't forget to rotate your tires.
Yes.
Also.
I mean, that's really cool because that means even though you rotate your tires, this still will be able to tell you when it's time for them to change. It's not like dumb. It doesn't just go, you've driven 40,000 miles. It goes, your tires do seem to be worn down.
That's interesting. I don't know if anyone's actually tested this.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's a new feature.
But wow. So many people were so upset at Elon when he said a few weeks ago that full self-driving 12.5 was coming out on hardware 4 first.
Yeah, the internet erupted with hardware 3 owners posting things like this. Let's Get It said, I think it goes beyond this. Current owners are starting to realize their hardware 3 cars will never be robotaxi capable. Hardware 4 owners will come to that realization soon also. All current Tesla cars will be obsolete and robotaxi will require the next gen robotaxi platform. But then Tesla released FSD 12.5.1.4 to hardware 3, or now AI 3, owners the other day with 2024.26.15. Okay, look, I know this is getting ridiculous, right? Having to keep track of release numbers, say, FSD numbers.
You can just say the latest full self-driving update yes, on the latest software update. It won't make any sense in like a couple weeks because...
No, because everyone has different... If you look, not everyone gets the same update for the same different cars. It's...
So we have to say a bunch of gobbledygook numbers at you because that's the only way you will know for sure.
Right. But the thing is, here it is. Hardware 3 owners are now getting their first reactions to full self-driving, like this post here from Rocco Speranza. He said, first drive on 12.5 on hardware 3, fix the one main issue on this route. Or this post from Affetto Tesla. He said, fire FSD 12.5, initial impression on hardware 3 compared to 12.4. He said, it feels smoother, seems to be able to anticipate other cars' movements much better. Overall, it feels quicker and more confident in making decisions. The highway stack definitely feels more decisive, too low auto speed. Or this post from FSD beta test pilot, hell yeah, FSD 12.5 on hardware 3. Just took FSD 12.5 out for a quick after dark drive. It was flawless and extremely comfortable. However, I think I could have said the same about many previous releases under the same situation. More testing is required. And here's the thing. We haven't tested 12.5 on hardware 3 yet. We tested it on Hardware 4 the other day, and it was the best version yet.
Even though Tesla is releasing it to some non-employees, it still hasn't gone to wide release, which makes sense.
But all this hate and the wringing of hands, relax, people. This is cutting-edge technology that we all get to beta test. We'll look back on this in a few years when robotaxis are a reality, and we'll be like, remember when we were beta testing full self-driving?
Was that all the way back in 24? I almost can't remember that far back. That was like 26 months ago.
I can't remember anything without my journal. Optimus, Optimus, grab my journal, will you?
Yes, sir. Here you go. Do you also want your reading glasses?
What would I do without you, Opti?
Look, basically, as Ashok Elaswamy, Tesla's head of autopilot and AI at Tesla, posted, the team was able to get a similar performance with AI 3 as AI 4 by implementing, quote, a few kernels in the compiler to emulate the same operations that are natively supported on the AI 4 hardware.
So after all of the stomping of feet and gnashing of teeth, it's exactly what Elon said, which was that they're going to emulate certain things from hardware 4 onto hardware 3, and that it would be capable of 12.5. This is a good sign because going forward, other software releases that are even better than 12.5 are going to probably still work on hardware 3, lowly hardware 3. It just might take a little bit longer for them to fit it into the system, but it does mean that it could be possible that full self-driving, like actually 100% no beta, full self-driving could work. And that this whole argument that's been happening for a few weeks where people are like, oh, my car is completely obsolete and we're going to all sue Tesla. It seems kind of bogus now.
So we've not been shy about calling out Tesla on things when we don't agree with a policy or how something is being implemented.
We generated quite a stir a few years ago when we talked about viewers having some not so stellar Tesla service experiences.
In general, I have to say Tesla service is fantastic, right? So many great people work for Tesla, so many great stories, both from our own experiences and our viewers who have reported to us over the years about Tesla employees going above and beyond.
And just the ease of using the Tesla app to book service appointments.
Yeah, I mean, especially when Tesla mobile service can just come to your driveway and take care of it. But since Tesla laid off approximately 10% of their workforce in April, we have been seeing more and more complaints in certain regions about increasing service wait times and delays on getting parts, and basically just general frustration over Tesla service not being so great.
Like this post from Brandon Flash in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Even with the brand new service center, Tesla service in Charlotte is booked 52 days out. That is insane. Or Fadi, same here in Phoenix, Arizona. Our current Mesa service center is booked up till mid-October.
The Green Texan says it's 21 days in San Antonio, and in Austin, it's 60 days.
And Aussie in Austin says, same in Austin, had to wait 6 weeks to get a door sensor checked in my Model X. And I know this isn't scientific.
Yeah, it's kind of a natural thing to gripe on social media, and less likely that you'll go out of your way to post if you had a normal service experience.
Hi, everyone on social media. I had a regular service appointment today. The coffee was okay, and they took about as long as I thought it should take to fix my car.
So we asked our Patreon patrons on this week's Patreon poll what their Tesla service has been since April, whether it was good or bad, and here are the results.
So it seems like 65% said service has been really good. 22% says Tesla service has not been great, longer wait times and so forth. And then 13% says Tesla service has been bad. And so some of the comments from our patrons, Volka says the service team is good. The company's support has been lacking. This is a distinction that should be noted. And I think that is a really good point. Mm-hmm. The people themselves are often awesome, stellar people, but they can't help it if the wrong part arrives or if no part arrives.
JT said the earliest time I can schedule something these days is almost 2 months out.
And again, that's not really their fault. It's Tesla not hiring enough people. Guagan said they sent the wrong windshield part, didn't find out until after driving 3 hours. Shop said they get wrong or broken parts half the time, 4 weeks to a new part. Most of the time, the service is great. Ranger replaced yoke in a flash. Getting the appointment worked out in the app is agonizing. And yeah, so I think, again, look, we don't want to be the bad guys here, but we call things out when we see them. And we're hearing a lot more people these days complaining about Tesla service. That's not everywhere.
Right.
There's plenty of regions in the country where they seem to have it really down. But I think there's other places where they're just struggling to kind of make ends meet.
And I think it also can be sort of hidden where, 65% of our poll says that everything's good.
Right.
You might go like, well, that's pretty darn good for service. But you have to realize that it is going to be regionalized and certain areas are going to be worse than others. Not necessarily, again, in the service techs, but in the volume of Tesla customers. There have been some staggering explosions in growth with Tesla customers in certain places.
I also think if you have a problem that keeps you from driving your car, it becomes a huge problem. I read about one guy who had a Model X and the battery went and he had to wait 2 months for a replacement. Mm. And in the meantime, what are you going to do?
Right.
You can't use Uber credits every day. So Tesla Charging has posted on X, congrats to the GFNY team ramping up NACS adapter production to 8,000 units per week. OEMs are also ramping suppliers.
And GFNY, of course, being Gigafactory Buffalo, New York, where Tesla makes superchargers and solar products like Solar Roof, and now also the NACS adapter. And of course, the reason Tesla is churning out all these adapters is to support all the non-Tesla EVs that can now charge at Tesla's supercharger network.
But I guess I don't fully understand why Tesla is making them and not just third-party suppliers. I mean, Tesla referred to OEMs ramping production from their own suppliers, like we've been testing the Vortex plug from Lectron, and Rivian and Ford both sent us their adapters.
In our Patreon poll this week, we asked our patrons for their thoughts, and we'll share some of those with you later on in the show.
But let's get back to that 8,000 per week production rate. Let's say they retail for $200 each, those adapters, mm-hmm. and that Tesla has, let's say, 50% margins.
Yeah, that's probably about right. The Vortex plug retails for about that much.
Okay, so that would be about 33,600 adapters per month, or revenue of $6.7 million per month at this rate, or $3.3 million in profit per month. Or in terms of cars, it's about the profit that Tesla would make selling 400 Model Ys per month.
So not bad, especially if they ramp up even more.
Exactly.
But now, for the first time, Tesla is relying on OEMs to make other electric vehicles.
Exactly.
For the first time ever, their competition making electric vehicles
makes them money.
Because normally the OEMs making gas cars helps Tesla because they get the regulatory credits. Now they get it both ways, baby. Because now, oh, you made a Bolt? Good for you. Now we can charge at the supercharger network and we get all of that sweet supercharger money. And you'll have to buy this adapter. Tesla's so smart.
4D chess.
This is like if Apple won with the Lightning connector. Which of course was never going to happen. But I mean, imagine if that happened and now all of a sudden it was like, oh, you want to charge? You want to charge your Android phone?
Well, it'd be like if Apple owned all of the outlets in America.
Yes.
Which I'm sure they're trying to do.
Not hard enough, obviously. So it appears that the city of Baltimore is going Tesla.
It's Baltimore, gentlemen. The gods will not save you.
Did you write this just to have a bunch of The Wire jokes? Okay, what are you talking about?
The city of Baltimore just put out a bid for $5 million in new electric vehicles for the city. Only two bids came back, apparently. One for the Ford Mach-E that the city rejected, and one from Tesla, which the city accepted.
Seriously? Tesla just nabbed a $5 million contract with the city of Baltimore?
Don't seem possible. Don't. Some Spider-Man shit there.
So what will BMW be buying, yo?
Baltimore will be buying Model 3s and Model Ys. $5 million could buy them 147 vehicles.
All in the game, yo. All in the game.
So once these Teslas start hitting the streets of Baltimore, please send us some photos and videos to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. I cannot wait to see city cars from Baltimore. That's awesome.
I mean, it's going to be hard for people in Baltimore because there's already a lot of Teslas in Baltimore.
True.
It's not like this is a new thing. But yeah, hopefully they have a little Baltimore logo on the side and that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. It's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So John Shahidi said Cybertruck has been sent to Texas and will be used by our team in Dallas.
And Elon said, cool.
And that's the guy that owns Happy Dad's Drinks. Big podcaster. Over on Cybertruck Owners Club, who sponsor us, by the way, thank you very much. We just saw a bunch of Cybertruck owners posting about getting Vision Park Assist with the new over-the-air update 2024.26.11.
I guess Ashok wasn't kidding when he said last week that Cybertruck would be getting its first driver assist feature by the end of the week. And I got it this morning. You
got it. Awesome. All right. So to remind us all about what this is, Tesla tells us Tesla Vision Park Assist now displays a high fidelity 3D representation of the world around your vehicle, including the proximity and shape of nearby objects, barriers, vehicles, and painted road markings. You can use Park Assist with or without audible feedback. Note, Park Assist is for guidance purposes only and is not a substitute for an alert driver. Remain attentive and avoid obstacles as required.
So To be clear, this is Vision Park Assist. This is not Vision Auto Park. So Vision Auto Park is coming at some point, and that is where your vehicle will park itself without you having to be in the driver's seat.
Oh, got it. Okay, thank you, because I would have probably just hopped out of the car and been like, okay, park yourself, yeah, car, no. And been like, why aren't you doing it? All right, no. So this is an assist feature at the moment.
Yes, and it was actually really helpful this morning. I kind of have a complicated way to back out, and it gave me a nice visual top-down idea of like what I was doing, because I have been
using... Wait, you were leaving?
I was leaving my apartment.
Oh, it can do it on leaving and parking, like leaving the parking space.
It's kind of like having the ultrasonic sensors. It's actually better because you get to really understand where your truck is in real space. Everything, though, looks really doughy. I mean, totally accurate as far as I can tell. Not that I'm going to like get really close to anything, but it just looks like everything looks like it's made out of like clay or dough. It reminds me of like Into the Night Kitchen, but it's pretty good.
It works. That's great. All right, we get a Cybertruck pulling an Airstream Pan American. This weighs about 6,000 pounds, by the way.
And Elon says, wow, big one.
Nick Cruz-Patain says Cybertruck silences the crowd with a 260-foot sled pull. Check this out. Now, do you hear how confused the audience is? I watched more of this where they were doing other trucks that were like, and the crowd's like, yeah! Right? And then the Cybertruck does it in like,
something ain't right.
Well,
they just don't understand how.
Did the truck just do that?
No engine noise. And
so I just want to say these are equivalent to like 250, 350 Ford F-150s or like 2500 Chevys. Like this is a big equivalent, but the crowd just doesn't get it. It's so hilarious to watch.
I knew something special about it.
Now, remember how Tesla had each of us Cybertruck owners agree that we wouldn't sell our Cybertrucks without first offering Tesla to buy them back?
Right. Tesla said that there would be a $50,000 penalty if we resold our Cybertrucks within a year.
Well, it's been less than a year, and Tesla has quietly removed that section from their sales agreement. Tesla did ban a few people from buying Teslas again who bought Cybertrucks and then resold them. Tesla wrote to one reseller, "Moving forward, any future orders placed by you will be canceled without a refund of the $100 reservation or $250 order fee, as official notification has been provided to you regarding this matter." And then Tesla canceled two additional Cybertruck orders that they had placed.
Oof. Banned by Tesla.
No soup for you.
But now they're getting rid of it. Do those people get to I guess they
No, they did it during the period of the bans.
They did violate the stupid clause thing.
Well, it's Tesla told you that's what it was.
Was this really going to kill Tesla if people resold their Cybertrucks?
You can't go in there, brazenly flout the rules.
Well, I mean, speaking of resellers, Love Deep sent us this listing they spotted in OfferUp in Port Orchard, Washington.
Is that...
Hold up.
Wait a minute. Is that a Chevy?
That is a wrapped Cybertruck wrapped to look like a Chevy 454 big block.
Wow, definitely a big block. So they're asking $250,000 for it. Don't they know anyone can buy one for $100,000?
Apparently not.
I guess they're
or
just
maybe
hoping...
they're hoping people don't know you can order like,
Cybertruck.
Oh,
I've never
Tesla.
Seen one that looks like that. Right. It's a wrap. You can get it wrapped for less than that. And there'll be at least one more Cybertruck in Australia. Chris saw this photo of a Cybertruck packed up and ready to head off to Adelaide, South Australia.
So if you spot it when it arrives there, please send us a photo or video to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. You guys are awesome reporters, by the way.
So we noticed this. When you supercharge the Cybertruck, which is DC, you can still use the bed outlets to keep running a refrigerator or whatever. But when you level 2 charge, which is AC, the bed outlets stop working.
Darn.
Well, Wes Morrill, Tesla's lead engineer for reliability test and analysis for Tesla's vehicles, explained why this is. The AC-DC converter used to take grid AC and convert it to DC to charge the high voltage battery is the same hardware used to generate the AC grid you use for your onboard power. There are several power stages in the AC-DC converter, so it may be possible to use one to charge at a limited rate while simultaneously providing grid generation at a limited rate, but will require some fancy triaging from the controls, which takes time to develop. When you supercharge, you're putting DC voltage directly to the high voltage battery, so it doesn't use the power converter hardware, which is why you can use onboard power while supercharging. So that explains what you've already figured out.
Yes.
I think that it takes AC power coming from the grid and it can turn it into DC power to charge the battery. Okay, so you run that in reverse and all of a sudden you have the inverter that runs the thing. So you've saved hundreds of dollars and you've saved dozens of pounds.
And so unlike where some people were like, well, maybe there's just another inverter in there that they just disable for some reason.
No, it very well could be that it's simply that they did put a separate inverter in.
Well, because here's my question. Could software someday change this?
It was that the inverter is the charger
being used,
and the charger is the inverter.
But it does sound like maybe with some amazing software, they'll be able to allow you to do both.
Yeah. So the different power stages, is that like there's a bank of... I'm not a professor. I'm not an electrical engineer.
Massimo says, polishing a Cybertruck like a mirror. Check this out. What do you think? What do you think? Should we do this to our truck? We've got a polisher in the shop.
We do have a polisher in the shop.
So comment below if you think we should. Let's say 10,000 comments and we'll do it.
Let's say 10,000 likes.
Okay.
10,000 likes.
Okay.
And
what, you don't want a shiny Cybertruck?
I do.
Okay.
Let's say 8,000 likes.
All right. 8,000 likes.
8,000 likes.
And we'll polish that baby up.
Head down to Harbor Freight, get some polishing compound and the polishing wheel.
Yeah.
And sure, it won't really be elbow juice, but there'll be some elbow juice.
Well, required. And as
Elon said, cool.
Maybe he'll say cool when we do it.
That's maybe.
And yeah, we are sponsored by Cybertruck Owners Club. Thank you so much, guys. Their site is awesome for all the Cybertruck news that we find every week and the reservation tracker so you can find out when you're going to get yours.
We just reviewed a new seated scooter over on our Now Let's Review channel.
That, by the way, is our YouTube channel where we review all sorts of cool products, everything from e-scooters and e-bikes to kitchen composters, automatic garden watering systems, and batteries.
Yeah, so please go check it out. And I'll bet we reviewed something that you either didn't know about or are looking to get, but you weren't sure which one to buy.
So this week, we reviewed the Caroma E68 Pro seated or standing scooter. You can easily attach or detach the seat depending on your mood that day.
You know, sometimes you just want to relax and take a load off and scoot around seated.
But other days, maybe you feel a bit zippier and you want to stand. Either way, you can do that with this new scooter from Caroma, and we go through the features, the stats, the price, and everything so you can make a more informed decision. So we have an in-depth episode coming out this week in which we interview John Felder. He's an inspiring man who was able to bring the first Tesla to Cuba.
And not just the first Tesla, but the first American-made car to Cuba in over 60 years since the embargo started.
We have an exclusive interview, which I think you're going to find inspiring. Also, we interview half of the filmmaker, husband and wife team of Peter and Pamela McNeil, who flew to Cuba and made a documentary about John and how he did it. The film is called Driving Towards Change.
This is a really inspiring and unique story, and it's because of our amazing community of viewers like you that we even heard about this, and we were able to get in contact with Mr. Felder and the McNeils.
Make sure you subscribe to us here on Now You Know channel and hit that bell icon so you don't miss our upcoming episodes.
With all the bad news in the world, it's nice to be able to share some good news for a change. So Waymo just unveiled their sixth generation vehicle last week.
Okay, what makes this different from their fifth generation vehicle? Isn't that the one that's based on the Jaguar I-Pace that's been around since like 2020?
Well, the most notable thing is that the sixth generation Waymo driver, as they call it, is now built on a new platform, an EV made by the Chinese company Zeekr, which is owned by Geely.
Oh, okay. So the same parent company that owns Polestar and Volvo.
Correct. Waymo says this new platform is optimized for costs, designed to handle more weather, and even has more range and compute power, and has better sensor resolution, range, and view.
And it even has like microphones, right?
Yep. It has 13 cameras, 4 LiDARs, 6 radars, and 6 external microphones around the vehicle.
And these new sixth generation cars have been testing on public streets already, right?
Yeah, people have probably already seen them driving around autonomously for thousands of miles of real world testing. And Waymo is hinting that soon these new vehicles will be available for the Waymo One app for ride hailing in San Francisco, LA, and Arizona.
And again, please, viewers, send us some photos and videos at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com if you spot one, or better yet, if you get to take a ride in one. So VW has just revealed U.S. prices for the ID. Buzz. This was an EV I was really excited about before VW unveiled their actual production model.
It's kind of weird. Usually I'm not that interested in concepts, but the concept for the ID. Buzz just caught my eye, as I think it did for a lot of people.
Yeah, when we first reported on it, I think that was back in September of 2017, when VW showed off the concept at the Frankfurt Auto Show.
Wow. That was back in 2017, huh?
Yeah. I couldn't find our original reporting on it of Tesla Time News back in 2017, but I did find our coverage of the ID Buzz Cargo Edition. They're not buying these yet, though, Jesse, but these are really cool looking. So this is the VW ID Buzz Cargo. Mm-hmm. We've seen the passenger version a while ago, but this is the concept for the cargo version.
Wait, wait, wait. So let me get this straight. Volkswagen unveiled the ID Buzz concept in 2017, and it took until 2024 to actually release it in the United States.
I mean, well, to be fair, VW did start deliveries of the ID Buzz in Europe in October of 2022.
But it was supposed to be one of the 2020 Tesla killers, and now it looks like this instead of how the concept looked, which was like that.
But regardless of the timing or the design, let's get into the pricing and some of the U.S. specs.
Okay, so when is Volkswagen going to start deliveries in the U.S.?
VW confirmed later this year.
But it already is later this year. It's almost September.
Well, you know, later.
Okay, so what's the starting price?
The ID Buzz Pro, which is the base version, starts at $59,995. It's rear-wheel drive with a 91 kilowatt-hour battery for 234 miles of range. It has three exterior color options, heated second-row seating, and unlike the European version, the U.S. ID Buzz gets three rows of seats instead of two.
But only 234 miles of range? It's kind of a deal buster for me.
Well, then maybe you want the ID Buzz Pro S Plus for $63,495.
The Pro S Plus? Before we go on, you have to tell me if there's another level above this.
I can't tell you that.
And do they just keep adding?
You'll have to find out.
Double plus, good.
You'll have to find out.
Excellent premium. Okay, so tell me about the Pro S Plus for $63,495. Do I get more range?
No. But you do get two-tone paint options for $1,000 more, power sliding doors included, and retractable tow hitch, also a heads-up display, and some other fun stuff.
What about more range?
Well, how about the ID Buzz First Edition for $67,045 with roof rail crossbars for your surfboard, an electrochromatic panoramic glass roof, and a white top?
Do I at least get all-wheel drive for this price?
No, that's an additional $4,500.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The top of the line, fully decked out ID Buzz will cost me $71,545, and I only get 234 miles of range?
Actually, the all-wheel drive gets 3 miles less range, so you'll get 231 miles of range.
Okay, I'm afraid to ask. How fast does a DC fast charge?
It's 170 kilowatts.
Great. So way slower than a Tesla.
Well, it ain't a Tesla.
You ain't no Tesla, bitch!
But hey, the ID Buzz does have 8 USB-C ports, and it has a 110 outlet under the passenger seat.
Okay.
I need to know what you guys think. I mean, I was so excited about this. I think a lot of people were. It looks like the old microbus. It's a really cool form factor. But then they just kind of nerfed it a bit when they came out with the production model. I don't know what it is. I can't really put my finger on it. It just doesn't look as friendly or fun. But it is still cool, I guess. It's just that it's so expensive and so little range. I just don't know if it's too little too late.
Do the rear seats, like, do the middle row turn
around?
You can
get captain chair option seats for more. Both driver and second row. But I think those are extra.
That's pretty cool, though. That's cool. So I would call this the first electric minivan.
Yeah.
And I would say, despite me not liking the concept, it does look better than a typical minivan.
Yeah.
But I don't actually mind minivans anymore, I guess, because I don't see them that often.
You mind them.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to drive one, I guess.
Like the Honda Odyssey.
Ugh. I don't know. At this point,
okay.
I don't know. I remember, I was alive in the 90s when every other car was a minivan and it was like, oh, these minivans. But now it's like,
I mean, they had their purpose.
Now I'm sick of crossover SUVs.
I know.
All right. It's time for some SpaceX news with our buddy Eli.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host. And this week, SpaceX is planning to launch the private Polaris Dawn astronaut mission. Wednesday, August 27th. Polaris Dawn will send 4 people to orbit aboard a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, which will launch from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida atop a Falcon 9 rocket. The Polaris Dawn mission aims to complete the historic first spacewalk completed by a private company. To date, only 12 countries have ever flown spacewalkers, and only three of which are even capable of delivering spacewalkers to orbit. While SpaceX and Polaris Dawn prepare to make history, the Boeing Starliner is making press for an entirely different reason. What was originally planned just as an 8-day mission, Butch and Sonny's stay in the ISS has already turned into almost 80 days. And now, NASA has outlined their plans to bring the crew safely back to Earth. Here is the official statement from NASA Administrator Bill Nelson.
NASA has decided that Butch and Sonny will return with Crew 9 next February, and that Starliner will return uncrewed. Our core value is safety, and it is our North Star.
It is great to hear that Butch and Sonny will return home on board the most proven, reliable, crewed spacecraft in the American arsenal, and that NASA's top priority is crew safety. Lastly, China plans to launch an exoplanet observatory in 2028 with the goal of making a breakthrough detection of a potential second Earth. The Shanghai Astronomical Observatory, under the Chinese Academy of Science, has introduced a project called Earth 2.0, or ET. The initiative will deploy six optical telescopes with 28-centimeter apertures. These telescopes will observe 2 million stars in the Kepler region star field and adjacent larger regions. The goal is to continuously monitor these areas over 4 years, searching for transits of potential exo-Earths. We have no idea where a second Earth might be, but the CAS is hopeful that they are going to find one. Well, guys, that's all for this week. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Starman Report, and I look forward to having you back for more of the most exciting news in space.
Thanks, Eli. We got some more SpaceX news.
According to PC Magazine, Starlink users are more satisfied than those on faster fiber networks.
Yeah, in fact, according to survey data from Recon Analytics, Starlink scored higher than any other internet provider in complete experience.
And Elon said, cool.
Sora Merritt said news, more than 10% of all households in Alaska are now using SpaceX's Starlink. Incredible.
The current population of Alaska, by the way, is 735,000 people. So that's about 73,000 people in Alaska using internet through Starlink.
And Elon said,
cool.
The U.S. Navy's Naval Information Warfare System Command, or NAVWAR, has installed Starlink on the Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. This now allows sailors to video call loved ones while at sea.
Previously, the Navy used Department of Defense satellites that were in geosynchronous orbit. That's 22,300 miles away, so the ship had low-speed internet and unreliable connectivity.
And Elon said,
cool.
Elon then tweeted out, this will be a super cool mission in many levels. He's talking about Polaris Dawn. Furthest distance from Earth of a crewed spacecraft in over half a century. Only Apollo is higher. And this is the first of the three Polaris program's three human spaceflight missions. So I'm really, really excited. I can't wait till tomorrow.
Nah, me too. And then Elon posted this picture. He said, two dragons ready for flight.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
If you want to pick up this amazing razor, you can. And you can use our code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout and get 100 blades for free.
It's a great gift.
As we continually move into the future, if our predictions about EVs disrupting internal combustion engine cars are right, then we should see EV manufacturers starting to beat out their ICE competition.
I mean, we've already seen that Tesla's market cap makes them the biggest in the industry.
Agreed. But many naysayers say that Tesla is a cult and we are overvaluing the company.
All right, then how do they explain this? BYD overtakes Honda and Nissan as the seventh largest automaker. Instead of looking at market cap, if we look at sales instead, in April and June of this year, BYD overtook Honda and Nissan in car sales. BYD's new vehicle sales grew 40% to 980,000 units in Q2. The prior year, BYD ranked 10th worldwide. Now they rank as the seventh largest automaker in the world.
And pretty much every car BYD now sells is either battery electric or plug-in hybrid. And I know one big hurdle for BYD going forward is going to be tariffs in the US and Europe on Chinese-made vehicles.
Yeah, but that's kind of missing the point. So let's simplify it, right? BYD only makes electric cars. Nissan and Honda really don't. I mean, Honda did have the country's best-selling hybrid in 2023, which is the Honda CR-V hybrid, selling 197,000 units. But the vast majority of their sales are ICE. And they have been dropping like a stone. Since 2019. Take a look at this chart.
I wonder what 2019 signifies. Maybe the last year before the Model Y entered the market? Maybe.
Similar story here for Nissan. Nissan only sold 20,000 electric cars in the U.S. in 2023, and that's just 2.5% of their U.S. car sales. And you can see from this Nissan worldwide sales chart, Nissan sales have also been dropping since 2018.
Things like this happen fast, especially when the robotaxis start to appear.
Now, we've used this analogy before. If you're in the woods and your leg gets caught in a bear trap, you have two choices. Gnaw off your leg and crawl back to safety, or die in the woods.
And that's what BYD did. BYD used to sell ICE cars, but early, they did what we said that big auto should do. They pivoted quickly to stop producing engines and instead started producing mainly battery electric vehicles.
They escaped the forest with their lives, and now they're flourishing, whereas Honda and Nissan are still back in the forest.
Hey, is there anybody there? Anybody want to buy an ICE engine?
We have cup holders. Lots of cup holders.
All right, it's time for Going Green.
So this story is a couple months old, but that's okay, right?
Thanks to our viewer Neil, we learned about the Salinas City Elementary School District getting 10 new electric school buses along with 10 new EV chargers for them.
SCESD chose Highland Electric Fleets to help them electrify their fleet that serves 15 schools and over 22,000 children.
Each bus has a range of 107 miles and can recharge in 4.5 hours.
They estimate that the buses will run an average of 8 to 14,000 miles each school year.
Now, the National Institute of Health reports that pediatric asthma is the leading cause of students being absent from school. Get this, more than 10 million missed school days annually are caused by asthma.
However, children who ride electric school buses have an 8% lower risk of pediatric asthma hospitalization, according to the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine.
And we talk about a lot of these things on our in-depth episode called The Magic School Bus episode, where we talk about electric school buses and how magical they are.
If you haven't seen that episode and you care about children at all, you should watch that episode. It is extremely, extremely powerful to me. I couldn't believe some of the things that we learned about in that episode.
Imagine how much smarter you and I would be because we both sat on diesel school buses our entire school childhood.
Exactly. All the way into college, I was still on a diesel school bus. And on Patreon bonus stories this week, an attempted kidnapping at a supercharger in Canada.
Now, we're going to share footage and cover the story more on Patreon bonus stories, but this is one reason why Jesse and I put the challenge out to the community for a way to drive away while charging an EV.
And our friends Craig and Eric at EVject took up the challenge and made this. This is the EVject Escape Connector. You can get yours at EVject.com. Use our exclusive code NYK and save 50%. Use it every time you charge so you'll never have to worry about
getting kidnapped. I mean, look, I never thought about that, right? I was worried about bears and guys in hockey masks. Now I have to worry about getting kidnapped.
Don't be a sitting duck. Get the EVject Escape Connector for you and your loved ones so you can have peace of mind when you charge. And use the code NYK to get 50% off.
All right, it's time for sunspots. So the Australian government has just approved what will be the largest solar and battery project in the world. I know I say that practically every week. It's because they keep getting bigger. This is the Sun Cable Australia Power Link.
That sounds more like a power line than a solar farm.
Well, it actually includes this really long power transmission line. So Atlassian co-founder, billionaire Mike Cannon-Brookes, is backing this project to build an 800-kilometer overhead transmission line from the solar farm that will be built near Elliot in northern Australia. It'll be up to 10 gigawatts of solar panels and 10 gigawatts of batteries, by the way. And then another, get this, 4,300 kilometers of undersea cable that'll go to Singapore and Indonesia. Australian Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek says not only will this project help turn Australia into a renewable energy superpower, it will be a huge boost for the Northern Territory economy.
And Elon said, impressively bold. I mean, yeah, just a little bit of Australia could power the whole frickin' world.
I know. I mean, we often say billionaires are evil, but here's a billionaire who is making renewable energy. So I don't think they're all evil.
Well, and this guy sounds familiar. Wasn't he the guy who bought the first Tesla Megapack?
Yeah, he kind of pushed back against the Australian government and said, this is the way of the future.
Wow.
This is the way. If you want to help the world go green and make money doing it, then you want to check out our friends at Climatize.
You may remember that we interviewed the co-founder and CEO, Will Wiseman, earlier this year. He co-founded Climatize as a way for us, the little guys, to be able to invest in solar projects directly.
And Climatize just closed a $1.75 million pre-seed funding round, which is great news.
So the way it works is you can go to the Climatize website or download the Climatize app.
You set up an account, you invest as little as $10. There are no investor fees, and this is open to all investors. You don't have to be accredited or anything special.
Then look through their investment projects and choose a project you'd like to support, like this one.
Now, how'd you like to work with Block Power to electrify America's buildings and earn, get this, 10% annual interest? Yeah, I said 10%.
Try finding that at a bank.
And you're putting your money towards putting solar on local projects.
It's a win-win. Did we get your attention? I thought so. Use our special referral code now, you know, viewers. You special people can get $25 in free investment credit by using our exclusive code NYK023.
And thank you to Climatize for sponsoring our show. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, send your stories to us. Shoot them in landscape with good audio, no music. Send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Adrian is here to show us a new supercharger location in Costa Mesa, California.
Hi, everyone. This is Adrian from Costa Mesa, California. Just wanted to show you that there are shortly 20 new Tesla charging stations. They all seem to be version 3 that will be at the parking lot of the IKEA store at the corner of Harbor and the 405 freeway. You can see that there is a Susan exit of the 405 freeway where you can just make a quick left, and that would be the entrance to the IKEA parking lot, and where you can see all of this new Tesla charging stations almost ready to be launched. Have a good one. Now you know.
Thanks, Adrian. Always good to know about new superchargers that are coming online.
What an awesome community we have. We are so lucky to be a part of it. Thank you to everyone who takes the time to share every week.
And speaking of supercharging, Trent sends us this video contributor story of him doing something for the first time.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Trent from Creative Charger Solutions. I watched your show about charging your F-150 at a Tesla supercharger. So I bought your adapter that you recommended, and I ordered it Friday. It came in the mail Monday, so I was going to try it out today. But when I got out to this Waller, Texas supercharger, they actually had a magic dock, so I didn't have to use my adapter. It just kind of comes away from the supercharger with its own adapter attached. So even though I'm driving a GM Chevy Silverado, it's charging at a Tesla supercharger. So I didn't know this was possible, but you gave me the courage to try it last week with your new video. So I thought I'd let you guys know it is possible to charge a Silverado at a Tesla supercharger. It says I have, let's see what it says here. Fast charging to 80%, ready in 35 minutes. So I'm not quite sure of the rate, but as big as this battery is, that's a pretty fast charge. So now you know.
Thank you, Trent. So glad we could let you know about that. That's what we're here for.
That is so cool to see all kinds of EV supercharging. The future is here. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. On Patreon this week, we've got a lot of stories just for our patrons.
Tesla semi catches fire.
Attempted kidnapping at a supercharger.
What did Starlink just disrupt?
And more. You can see all of these stories for just a buck a month.
Also, our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members.
So head over to patreon.com/nowyouknow and support us.
Keep independent journalism strong and get all of these Patreon bonus stories.
We'll see you there. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the Patreon poll, number two this week, actually. Why is Tesla making their own NACS CCS adapter at Gigafactory Buffalo? Now, this is kind of different than most polls, right? Because we didn't just put out a poll. We asked for their thoughts, and then we took the top-rated ones, and we're going to read them here. So Larry says, I think it's mostly about quality control, as Tesla is a very vertically integrated company. They want to make sure the experience is what it should be. Even with the convenience of using an adapter, I think it will sway people to buy Teslas, as then no adapter is needed.
George G. said, safety and quality control.
Todd said, I believe it's so Tesla can accommodate CCS-equipped vehicles that have not yet transitioned to NACS. There's money to be made in selling these adapters and in keeping superchargers busy.
Stewart said quality control.
Harlequin says, because the legacy automakers can't make them at scale in a timely manner.
And Lex said more than likely because the other OEMs simply weren't coming through yet. Most, if not all of them, stated they will make adapters available to their customers as they negotiate the use of Tesla's supercharger network, but they haven't shown up yet.
Yeah, thank you to our patrons for those answers. I think that's pretty much true. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the Week. And Thomas Slabber says, phone call with my dad yesterday. Dad, I'm usually a fan of Elon, but did you hear all the crazy stuff he said during that chat with Trump? Update. My dad listened to the original conversation on Spaces. He said, the difference between what was said and what was published is mind-blowing. Elon came across as reasonable as usual, and his vision continues to inspire.
And Elon said, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we talked about, make sure you listen to things. Don't just take what other people say about them. Elon then said, honored to have been the convocation speaker yesterday at West Point. And then the West Point dean quoted Elon saying, curiosity, tried to read as much as possible, learn as much as possible in many different fields, and apply critical thinking. In the spirit of critical thinking, Mr. Musk spent time with our cadets, staff, and faculty to kick off this year's academic theme, The Human and the Machine, Leadership on the Emerging Battlefield. The conversations focused on the rapidly evolving nature of AI and future warfare.
Seth said, I'm confused. West Point just had Elon as its convocation speaker when Musk is providing vehicles ready for military use to sanctioned enemies of America? Why isn't this the biggest story in America today? Why is West Point coddling a man working openly against the U.S.?
And Elon said, are you seriously so that you think I donated a Cybertruck to a Russian general? That's amazing. Yet another example of how much the legacy media lies.
Now, we talked about this last week. Again, Elon didn't. That's what Russia said. Russia said that they donated it. And the mainstream media listened to Russia over an American businessman. Okay.
Ian says Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre Moraes, in a despotic move, has brazenly threatened to throw X's legal representative in Brazil behind bars unless they bowed to his draconian censorship demands. This outrageous act of tyranny has forced X to take the drastic step of shutting down its operations in Brazil, not out of fear, but to safeguard their team from the clutches of such judicial overreach. This is a dark day for democracy in Brazil, where a judge's gavel swings like a dictator's fist.
Elon said he is indeed a tyrant. And then he went on to say the decision to close the X office in Brazil was difficult, but if we had agreed to the judge's illegal secret censorship and private information handover demands, there was no way we could explain our actions without being ashamed.
Deborah asks, is empathy a strength or a weakness? And Elon says, I'd like to say that it's always a strength, but there are important exceptions. One, when empathy towards immigrants who have antithetical and intransigent beliefs leads to civilizational suicide. Two, when there is too much empathy for violent criminals rather than their victims, leading to greater net harm to the people. And three, when policies ostensibly originating from empathy towards low-income groups result in low-income groups being worse off, communism. And then he went on to say that Godsod articulates this well. And just want to point out, this is nuanced, not like the mainstream media says about Elon.
Dr. Simon Godek said Venezuela holds the largest oil reserves in the world by far. So why is it such a poor and dysfunctional country?
Elon said extreme socialism verging on communism has made a country that should be rich become poor. Ian says The Guardian claims Elon Musk incited the unrest in the UK and that he plans to do even worse to the US, legitimately unhinged. This newspaper needs to be shut down for gross libel.
Elon says comically unhinged. This one made me laugh.
Elon then posted, my autistic how to reply to how's your day going? Rain says Elon arguably fulfilled all his promises. Version 12.5 is 14 times better overall and 4 times safer than 12.3. This month, FSD 12.5 already got 1.4 times better overall and 2 times safer. VK says my wife, who vouched that she would never ever activate FSD, is now using FSD 12.5 for more than 90% of all her drives. No amount of graphs or data can capture the success of FSD when it successfully passes a non-tech spouse approval test by Tesla.
Elon said this is a good test for whether full self-driving is achieving escape velocity.
Elon then said, do you know that America pays almost all the drug R&D costs of Earth? That's why drugs are bizarrely cheap in other countries. Also, the insurance and distribution of drugs in the U.S. is a mess. Someone asked, name a movie you've watched over 5 times that you're still entertained by. And Elon said,
Step Brothers, Tropic Thunder, and anything by Monty Python.
Not the Bee says UK to release criminals from jails to make room for anti-immigration protesters and mean tweeters called Operation Early Dawn.
Elon said the UK is turning into a police state.
And Wokeness says, holy shit, the UK is releasing 5,000 prisoners to make room for anti-immigration protesters.
Elon said Operation Orwell, more like it.
Kimball Musk said, just visited The Kitchen, Austin's new restaurant space. It's going to be awesome opening this fall.
Elon said, looking forward to it.
Watcher Guru said, just in, Donald Trump says he would offer Elon Musk a cabinet or advisory role if elected president. And Sir Doge of the Coin said, Department of Government Efficiency?
Elon said, that is the perfect name.
And he said, I am willing to serve. And he posted this meme. Elon said, sometimes I wonder if I'm too defiant.
Robin Hansen said, some people are really good at board games. Not just one or a few, but they can do well at most any. Why don't they then do better at life? How do board games differ so systematically?
Mark Andreessen says, not enough variables. And Elon said, yeah, reality has vastly higher degree of freedom. Transfer learning from most games to reality is low. Hassan says, imagine SpaceX spaceport in Dubai.
Elon says, might happen one day.
Doge designer says, Kamala, Biden economics is working. Also, Kamala, we'll fix everything on day one.
Elon says, why not fix it right now?
Amuse says, Democrats, in a stunning display of irony, are building an impenetrable wall around their convention center in Chicago and demanding ID from everyone entering the venue. This comes from the same party that decries walls as racist and insists that requiring ID is discriminatory.
And Elon said, amazing.
Elon said, literally last month, Joe Biden said, I'm staying in the race. Elon said, nerfing of the gun emoji matches the rise of the woke mind virus, as a core tenant is equating fake harm with real harm. Elizabeth Warren says, have you noticed that groceries cost a lot more than they did a few years ago? You're not the only one. Massive food corporations have kept prices up nationwide to exploit customers and make a profit.
Elon said her statement is trivially disproven by actually looking at the razor-thin profit margins of food companies.
Konstantin Kissen said, a journalist from NBC asked me for an interview about Elon Musk's comments about the UK. When I agreed, I discovered that he already had the narrative. He just wanted to make Elon and me look bad. Listen for yourself.
And I took a listen to that interview.
So did I.
Holy sh**.
Yeah.
Elon said, indeed, I definitely do not want civil war, but pushing identity politics over national pride, as many governments are now doing, will make that inevitable, in my opinion.
Adrian says, breaking, President Trump has announced the reinstatement of military members discharged for refusing the COVID mandate with full back pay and a formal government apology.
And Elon said, great.
Elon said, I must have read the Monster Manual 10 times as a kid. So did I. We're talking Dungeons and Dragons here. And I went looking for mine the other day, and I guess I got rid of it at some point. Feel so bad about that.
You idiot.
I'm an idiot. I still have my figurines, though. Stephen King, I guess, is getting along with Elon because now they're chatting again. He said, a Trump supporter and a Harris supporter walk into a bar and have a good conversation.
Elon said, I just had a good conversation with friends in L.A. about Trump Kamala.
Stephen King went on to say, what do cowboys pay for marsupials? A buckaroo. Think about it.
Elon said, last night I had a nightmare that I ate a humongous marshmallow, and when I woke up, my pillow was gone.
Elon then said, propaganda isn't just about creating fake news. It's also about hiding real news. So true. This from ABC, California advances zero down, no payment home loans for undocumented immigrants.
Elon said, seems messed up to prioritize illegals over citizens.
Vittorio says, in a few years, people will not be able to function in society without a brain-computer interface.
Elon said, at some point, having a Neuralink will be normal.
Cybertruck posted, only truck that doesn't need a logo to know what it is.
And Elon says, no logo. And I don't know if that's true, because I have a lot of sensor cam footage of people walking around the truck going like, looking at every square inch of it because they don't know what it is.
True. They'll find out.
They'll find it. Silver truck. What is it?
That landed. MSIS.org says, chatbot arena update. Exciting news. XAI's Grok 2 and Grok Mini are now officially on the leaderboard.
Elon says, great work by the XAI team. Thanks also to our suppliers and contractors who went the extra mile.
Steve Cortez says, this speech from RFK Jr. will go down in the history books. And yeah, you guys have to watch the speech. It brought tears to my eyes.
Elon said true.
Western Lensman says three former Democrats who've had enough.
Elon said, yeah.
Elon said, we are working on highlighting more banger content from currently small X accounts. Our current algorithm shows too much from accounts that are already big. Mark Andreessen says there's so much alpha in books from 1870 to 1930. It's unreal.
Elon says, for maximum alpha complete with fighting for princesses, the Iliad. Penguin audiobook at 1.25 speed is best. It was meant to be a spoken, not written story.
Elon Musk then posted this. Corporate needs you to find the difference between these pictures.
Elon says, looks identical to me, shrug.
Bill Kristol says, thank God one of our two political parties is pro-American, pro-freedom, and pro-democracy.
Elon said, based on this post, I honestly can't tell which party you mean. When I talk to hardcore Democrats or Republicans, both are convinced that their party fits that description. Real conversations are only possible with the middle 40% independents. Worth noting that independents are the biggest voting bloc in America.
He went on to say, earlier this year, a friend of mine almost had his young daughter taken from him in California just because he wanted her to wait a few years to permanently transition. He talked the police out of taking her when they came to his house. That day, he left California with his family. Ashley Vance says Boeing was paid billions more than SpaceX to be 7 years late on a mission it could not complete and will now be rescued from total disaster by SpaceX. Never forget, many bureaucrats wanted to sole source all this to Boeing.
Elon said hardly anyone knows that there was a massive effort to block SpaceX from providing astronaut transport for NASA.
Elon then posted the Second Amendment is the only reason long term that the First Amendment will be upheld. Alex says news, Ghana's NDC presidential candidate John Mahama pledges he will provide Starlink internet for all senior high schools to allow access to online tutorials nationwide. Mahama outlined this policy during his party's manifesto launch, which is themed Resetting Ghana.
And Elon said, cool.
Elon said, being a free speech advocate these days is increasingly feeling like a Kobayashi Maru problem. And that is from Star Trek, where you cannot win the simulation, right? It's you're going to fail either way you do it.
I reprogrammed the simulation so it was possible to rescue the ship.
He cheated.
I changed the conditions of the test.
It's to see how you play it, though.
Oh, because it was like a simulation of a battle, right? And you can't win it. I gotcha.
I don't like to lose.
Naomi Seep said, why don't they arrest Mark Zuckerberg for enabling child predators?
Elon said, because he already caved into censorship pressure. Instagram has a massive child exploitation problem, but no arrest for Zuck as he censors free speech and gives governments backdoor access to user data.
Steve Jurvetson said NASA just decided that SpaceX needs to rescue Boeing's astronauts. Written before the Starliner debacle, Berger's forthcoming book, Reentry, tells the backstory with plenty of foreshadowing, starting with Boeing's attempt to be the sole crewed spacecraft provider.
And Eric Berger said it's true. The whole story of Crew Dragon development, the completion with Starliner, and the closed-door NASA meeting where SpaceX was almost boxed out of crew contracts is told in Reentry. The book comes out 1 month from today.
And we're going to be interviewing Eric, and I got to say, it's one of the best books I've read in a while.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Rothsmith said, did the authorities do anything about Mastodon or nah?
And Elon said, nope.
Geiger Capital says China just arrested the billionaire founder of a free speech messaging app for not moderating and censoring the content to their liking. Iran is arresting their own citizens for posting things they don't approve of. Just kidding. That was France and England. And Mario posted what Vivek Ramaswamy just said. It's Telegram today. It'll be X tomorrow.
And Elon said he's right.
AKA said, breaking, comedian Amy Schumer says she'll move to London if Trump is elected president. What's your response?
Elon said, that place where they arrest you for posting memes?
And so there you have it, folks.
Woo!
All right, it's time for Community Mail Time.
Community Mail Time.
We got so many cool things this week. Check this out. Remember, send your stories, your photos, your videos to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. First up, what do we got?
First up on Community Mail Time, it's time for Not an EV Fire.
So Glenn sent us these photos he took of a Ford Transit on fire outside his house in Kinross, Scotland. It's not the Ford Transit EV. It's the Ford Transit diesel.
Here in the U.S., there are over 200,000 ICE car fires every year, or about 560 a day on average.
That's why the news doesn't cover them. They couldn't even get through them all. Today in the U.S., there was a car fire over there. There's a car fire over there. There's two over there. There's three over there. There's another over there. And then there's another one over there. Jason spotted this Rivian R1T in the Dales, Oregon.
Ryan spotted this Cybertruck on August 18th with some equipment on it in San Francisco.
So is this like testing full self-driving or is that like a rocket launcher?
I don't know.
Emmanuel shared this ad he saw going through the Delhi airport in India. It seems to be one of those typical like tourism ads that you see in airports about discovering the country. Emmanuel says, sorry about the glare. They removed the Tesla logo, of course, and it's just an attempt at looking modern. And Teslas aren't even in India yet. Most, unfortunately, are going to these natural gas conversions instead, which is just a fuel savings of like 20-30%. But it's cool to see Teslas are futuristic and adds more to the free advertising that Tesla gets.
Paul just visited a supercharger in Fort Worth, Texas, and he says that while he was charging his Model Y, both a Kia EV and a Chevy Bolt also pulled up for a charge. Notice also that you can approach one of the superchargers from either side, so there's no taking up two spaces to charge your non-Tesla EV. This was in the corner of a Lowe's parking lot.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, that kind of solves the problem, right? So they're not really blocking you.
Hmm.
Christopher shared these latest photos from the West Hollywood, California Tesla Diner construction progress. So that's cool to see. We're getting there.
Chris also spotted a Rivian with the Optima power station and overland rough racks at the Peterson Museum.
That looks cool.
Yeah.
Is that the Yakima tent? What is that? Or is that like a third party tent?
Third party, yeah.
Tor wrote to tell us about the next Swedish Touring Car Championship race taking place at Ring Notstrop on the 13th and 14th of September. Here's the leader, Tobias Brink's Tesla car.
Jerome spotted this Model 3 Performance and this Cadillac Lyric in Nimbus Metallic, both in Atlanta, Georgia.
Art spotted this wrapped Cybertruck at a local Cars and Cones in Vineland, New Jersey.
Caroline shared this photo from Matt and Fern from Aurora, Colorado. They spotted this Chevy Bolt with a wrap for this tree care business.
DLCArbor.com. Nice.
Steve spotted this Toyota BZ4X in Iceland.
Steve in Wapaka, Wisconsin was so excited to see his first Amazon delivery van that he said, I ran out to meet the driver. I told him I was a big EV fan. I own one, and I also happen to be in electronics, electrical, RF, PC, hardware, and biomed tech. He was thrilled and started asking me all kinds of technical questions, which I happily answered. I also asked him questions such as range, how he likes it, etc. He says he loves it, even though he knew nothing about EVs when they handed him the van. He does get range anxiety, so I told him where all the level 2 chargers were in the neighborhood, including mine and others I installed. I also showed him how to DC fast charge and where to go. He had not received positive feedback prior to our encounter, as EVs are rare in my area, so may have gotten in a little trouble for taking me so long. Oops. Thank you, Stanford, helping teach him.
And guess where Ray spotted this Cybertruck?
Where?
In Belize.
What? Where's Belize again?
It is here. Ray said, just wanted to share my excitement of the year and a dream come true. I spotted the Cybertruck for the first time ever August 20th, and it was here in Spanish Lookout, Belize, at our local grocery co-op store called Farmers Trading Center.
That's awesome. Rick spotted this. So this is Wonderland here in Revere, Massachusetts. It's like on the North Shore. Not sure what Rivian's doing storing those Rivians there.
Wait, so this wasn't a Rivian meetup? This is a parking lot?
No, it's just
full
a parking lot.
Rivians. Yeah. And that's near the Rivian delivery service center.
Kind of,
right?
Yeah.
In Chelsea. So, yeah.
But I mean, are these like going to be, these are deliveries? There's just so many of them and he's seen them there for weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just delivering them. I mean, I do see a lot of Rivians around, so.
Sure. It's just such a weird spot. Rick also spotted this rundown Texaco station in Nashua, New Hampshire. Looks like one of those scenes from like an apocalyptic show like The Walking Dead or The Last of Us. So there's been a shark sighting.
Where? Where?
No, I'm sorry. I should have said a BYD shark sighting. James spotted this BYD shark pickup truck in Burney, Texas.
What? Oh, wow. I would have thought that was a Ford F-150.
Mm.
So to be clear, this is a plug-in hybrid with a 1.5-liter petrol engine and two electric motors.
Yes, 170 kilowatts in the front, 150 kilowatts in the rear. It does 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. Has a 30-kilowatt-hour LFP blade battery for less than 100 kilometers of range. That's any DC range, so not much range. It tows 2,500 kilograms, which is 5,500 pounds. Has a payload of 1,840 pounds, and it's launched in Mexico first. It's not here yet, for $53,400. So I guess that's how, I don't know how he got across the border.
Interesting. But. Mike spotted the Trump wrapped Cybertruck in Parkland, Florida that we showed you last week. Maybe this one's a copycat?
It could be. And then an American flag wrapped Cybertruck was spotted by Glenn's Model Y in Fogelsville, Pennsylvania, right outside of Allentown.
Last week, remember, one of our viewers spotted a Cybertruck. Well, this week, Adam spotted an electric boat in Prague, Czech Republic.
Bill writes from Southampton, Mass. After 4 years of waiting, on August 3rd, we took delivery of our dual-motor Cybertruck from the Dedham, Mass. Service Center just in time to pull our 24-foot RV to Lake Winnipesaukee, and we were the talk of the campground. From our house in Western Mass, we only stopped once in Brattleboro, Vermont, on the way back and up, and averaged about 930 watt-hours per mile while pulling the RV with tires inflated to 65 pounds. Jeez. We also drove up Mount Washington, which took 14% to get up, and we gained 9% on the way back down. Seemed weird to have to press the accelerator all the way down while smelling burning brake pads coming from ice cars waiting to cool down.
He said it was easy to forget that he was actually pulling anything with the trailer.
And speaking of Mount Washington, Joseph from Montreal, Canada, summited Mount Washington in New Hampshire as well in his Cybertruck a couple of weeks ago, 6,288 feet. He says, I wasn't lucky for the weather, but it looks great in the clouds.
Yeah, I, you know what? I like mountains when they're all socked in. It's actually kind of cool. No, it makes you feel less likely that you're going to fall off.
That's
of them. Even though you're not any less likely to do that. Kevin spotted this Cybertruck at the Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin Superchargers.
Don from Santa Fe, New Mexico, shared photos of his brand new green wrap Cybertruck and his 2020 Model Y, also wrapped in green. He says he loves Teslas. Well, yes, Don, that is completely obvious. Congratulations.
And Rob spotted this Cybertruck at the new version 4 supercharger in Los Gatos, California.
Nice. All right, well, it's time for new superchargers. Let's see what we got out there in the world.
Hello, Second Jesse. This is Alejandro reporting to you from Miami, Florida, with a brand new, recently opened, I think less than a week ago, supercharger. This is a 12-stall, 250-kilowatt supercharger. It is located in Southwest 40th Street and 69th Southwest Avenue. It is about a mile away from the highway or less. It has a Wendy's across the parking lot over there. It has three stalls that are going to be very convenient for backing up with a trailer like that, and another one on this other side. And even three of these superchargers have not yet been activated. So this is, you know, really fresh off the press news. And I would give this a 6 out of 10. Now you know.
Hey guys, Craig in Pennsylvania here at the Downingtown Supercharger. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stalls. I believe they're V3. We are at a Royal Farms. This is the only thing here that's within any reasonable walking distance, but you can get some food, drinks, restroom. It is off the Route 30 bypass, just off the exit, right in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. I have my trailer here on my Model 3. There is no pull-in spot. Just checking it out today. Don't need to charge. Just passing through. Now you know.
I forgot the score. 4 out of 10, just for proximity to the exit and the amenities. And this should be open 24/7. But that's all. Nothing else special here.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Kevin from Illinois reporting from the Two Brothers Roundhouse Brewery, Restaurant, Distillery, and Event Center. At this location is 4 Tesla destination chargers. And what do we have here but a GM Bolt charging at one of them? Two Brothers Roundhouse is located inside a historic train roundhouse here in Aurora, Illinois, right next to the Metro line. So I would rate this a 9 out of 10 as far as a great destination for food, drink, and charging your Tesla or Bolt. Now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Scott at the new version 3 Tesla supercharger installation in Falmouth, Maine, right off exit 53 of the main turnpike, Interstate 95. It's at a Hannaford supermarket. There are 8 version 3 chargers on the right end of the building. Bathrooms are conveniently located just inside the nearest entrance on the right. Store is open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 9 p.m. on Sunday. It's a very convenient location if you're heading north on the main turnpike, heading up to Bangor, to go down to Bar Harbor, go to Acadia National Park. There is a Dunkin' Donuts close by. There's also a bar, yoga studio, karate studio, a couple other amenities in this strip mall. I'm gonna give this one a 5 out of 10 on the new scale and an 8 out of 10 on the traditional scale. Now you know.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. Over on our website, you can upload your own and check out other people's reviews on a map.
All right, what do we got for new superchargers?
We have the 24 stall in Boca Raton at West Yamato Road, Florida.
We get the 8 stall version 4 in Viernheim, Germany.
The 3 stall in Kuzhou, China.
The 6 stall in Beijing, China.
Number 51 in Arizona is the 16 stall at Queen Creek, Arizona.
We got the 3 stall in Jilin, China.
The 12 stall version 4 in Todd Hills, southbound UK.
Number 146 in the UK is the 12 stall version 4 in Rugby, UK.
Number 205 in France is the 12 stall version 4 at Val de Rieux, France.
We got the 12 stall version 4 in Windmere, Florida.
The 6 stall version 4 in Newburgh, Germany.
We got the 4 stall version 2 in Zibu, China.
The 8 stall version 4 at Friedrichsdorf, Germany.
We have the 3-stall in Chengdu, China.
Number 209 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Sulzbach, Germany.
We got the 12-stall version 4 in Orlando, Florida.
The 8-stall version 4 in St. Nuez, California.
Number 168 in Florida is the 8-stall version 4 in Winter Haven, Florida.
Number 2094 in China is the 3-stall at Yermakwe.
And number 483 in California, number 2363 in the U.S., number 6595 in the world is the 12-stall version 4 in Dublin, California.
Woo. Thank you for spending your valuable time with us today.
I am so excited about this week's Polaris Dawn mission.
Private citizens going to space and doing a spacewalk for the first time in history.
Yeah, Jared Isaacman and Sarah Gillis are going to do a 2-hour spacewalk hundreds of miles above Earth.
This is the kind of thing you want to share with your friends and family.
This is the stuff that can inspire a young mind in ways that we can't even imagine.
So make sure you share it with people that may not know what's happening.
And thank you to all these awesome patrons that you see here. Their names are scrolling by. Without them, we could not do the work that we do every week, keeping you informed about the latest in EVs, sustainable energy, space, and more. So thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you next week.
Now you know.